You make beautiful things out of dust. We are dust. Touch your dust. Don't even think about that, right? From the earth, we were fashioned and formed, as Scripture tells us. How amazing is that? Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for dust, for the ways in which you remind us that creating new life is our charge. Bless us, O God, as we continue to listen for you, be touched by you, be filled from your breath, and be your hands and your heart to the world that we touch. Amen. Today is what's called Ascension Sunday. The Sunday in the church Christian calendar where we recognize that Jesus' life following resurrection came to an end and a whole new beginning was beginning to unfold for the disciples. In his departure speech, we'll call it, he reiterated that everything in Scripture, everything I told you would happen, has happened. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what God has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into the heavens. Can you imagine that moment? Think about it. This person you have journeyed with, who you witnessed miracles through, who you listened to teachings about how to love yourself and your neighbor and God as you journey through life, who watched die, who you pulled away from for fear of the authorities, or betrayed, or denied, or abandoned, falling asleep in the garden, witnessing not only death, but new life in a way, in such a way you didn't even recognize this new form he took on. And then you supped with him, realizing that this meal would become a ritual practice for folks as we come together. And then you get yourself reacquainted. Okay, he's back. This is cool. Now we can hang again. And the next thing you know, he's blessing you and leaving you again. How many times have we felt God leave us? Just kind of rise right up into the heavens. I'm betting, you know, it's a long way up there. I'm betting they stood there for a really long time. Can you imagine the grief that fell over them? this man they loved, who fulfilled Scripture. He told them he was going to fulfill. And now, it looks like he's gone forever, but leaves them with a promise. Stay in the city until the Comforter comes. So what do they do? Now, Jesus did not say, and this is what I want you to do while you stay in the city. He just said, stay in the city. So what did they do? They went to the temple, safe, right? They went to the temple and started praying. And praying. And praying. I mean, how many prayers are there really to say? And praying. Because sometimes praying is safer than stepping out. Can I get a witness? Sometimes asking the question in the form of prayer is easier than taking the risk and failing. Taking the risk into the unknown. Because every step they took from that point on was new territory, was something different. They did not have Jesus to fall back on in the way that they'd always had him. But did they not have his wisdom in their minds, his words? Have you ever, like, journeyed with somebody and then they're not with you anymore and a circumstance happens and it takes you right to a memory of being with them? Have you ever, like, let's just say, you know, your parental units impose some characteristics and morals and values on you, and you step away from those whose voice is in your head. You know, today's Mother's Day, and at 55, my parents still really have a lot of, I'm just afraid of them sometimes, you know. I was laying tile for my aunt a couple weeks ago, and it was really hot, and my mom said, well, your dad's got a pump-up tent. Would you like to borrow it? And I was like, that'd be great. You know, that sun's really hot. And so they brought it, and they had, you know, it takes four people to set it up, and then at the end of the day, it was just me. And so I thought, well, what could it hurt? I'll just leave it up overnight, right? Except it rained. And guess what happened to the tent? It bent. And I felt like I had wrecked my dad's car for the first time. You know that feeling where you got to tell your dad you wrecked the car? And oh my goodness, the stories that happen in your head, and you got to get yourself all prepared. So I thought, well, before I tell my dad I wrecked the car, I'll get it fixed. I'm smart, right? Went online, found the website, found the part, ordered the part. The part came in, took it out of the box. I'm so excited that I'm going to get this tent fixed and give it back to my dad, and then I'll tell him the story. Well, it was the wrong size and the wrong color and the only spare part on the website. So I had to, took me another week. Because, you know, I could have been sent to my room for another, you know, few weeks to think about my behavior. I mean, our parents at, you know, might be 80, but they still have that hold on us. Can I get a witness here? Yesterday, I spent the day with my mom, and I said, Mom, I've got some really sad news to tell you about the tent. And I told her the news, and she goes, oh, honey, don't worry about it. We were going to buy a new one anyway. You know, we just put ourselves through a lot. Sometimes for fear that stepping out into the unknown might cause us pain, when sometimes that's the very place we find forgiveness. That's the very place we find love. That's the very place God is modeled. Jesus left the disciples in the physical form, but never left them in their hearts and in their minds and in their stories. Amen? So what happens for us, all of us? When I say us, I mean me too, because we're all on a spiritual journey together, amen? What happens for us when we get afraid? When we get to those places where we feel like Jesus ascended and is nowhere to be found? Have you ever found yourself in one of those lonely places? Sometimes it's just hard to come back to the main thing. I find myself reminded not just by the comfort of Scripture, but sometimes a poet can nail it in a way I can't find it in Scripture. Has that ever happened for you? In the Invitation by Oriah, Mountain Dreamer, I sometimes hear not these words from a poet, but maybe an invitation from Jesus. As I read through this poetry, she writes, "So I invite you as I share this with you to think about this as a conversation with Jesus, Jesus saying to you, it doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for and if you dare to dream of the meeting of your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon." Can't you just hear Jesus saying that? "What planets are squaring your room? I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you have been opened by life's betrayal or become shriveled and closed from the pain, from the fear of further pain. Have you ever been in that place? So afraid you're going to feel more pain that you just shrivel up, guarding yourself, daring anyone to touch you. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own." Think about this question. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine. Jesus is asking you, can you sit with my pain? We don't even think about Jesus having pain. We just think about him being the great Savior. Can I get a witness here? I mean, haven't we sterilized Jesus so much that we don't even experience his human form and we make excuses for any time he's human? By saying, "Oh, but he's fully divine, really and truly. He's really God. He's not really a human. He came to us in flesh and blood. He came to us out of dust. And he invites us to sit with his pain and with your own. If you can dance with wilderness and let ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful or be realistic or members of the limitations of being human, I think about what it means for us to stand here together and sing and clap and turn. And who's watching us? Who might post us on Facebook? Come on. This is how we overcome. 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 We do it together. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling is true. Oftentimes people will come to me with some story that they've heard that sounds pretty fantastic. Maybe not nice about somebody in the church or somebody in the community. And you know what? It didn't have to happen for it to be true. Amen? It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself. If you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul. If you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty even when it's not a pretty day. And if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silvery moon, yes! What holds us back? It doesn't interest me to know where you live, or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up night after night, after a night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what is needed to feed the children of the world you touch. It doesn't interest me to know. It doesn't interest me who you know, or how you came to be here. I want to know if you can stand with me in the center of the fire and not shrink. How is it we stand with Jesus in the center of fire and not shrink? How is it that we can stand with Jesus in a place of holy boldness and proclaim the good news in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our pain? It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else falls away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments of your life, in the empty moments of your pain, in the empty moments of your hope. I want to know if you will accept my love and share it with the world you touch. That's the core of this dust. I constantly find myself reflecting on Dr. Stephen Covey, who says there are four essentials to our living: to live, to love, to learn, and to leave a legacy. What is our legacy? How are we loving? What are we learning that makes a difference in the world we touch? How are we sharing what we have with those who have not? I want to know. Do you want this love? Will you join me in this challenge? Will you step out even in the midst of your pain? Will you carry my love to the world you touch? I want to know you. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise. We know that sometimes this journey just has unexpected challenges and heartache and disappointment and pain. And we know you are with us. And we need each other because sometimes we just forget that. Help us, oh God, to be open to community, to be open to each other. Your hands, your feet, your heart, your love. Knowing that you are always with us in all that is sacred and holy, we offer this to you. Sometimes our journeys are just laden with heaviness. This is a church who believes in the power of prayer. And I want to just kind of feeling it in my heart when I hear this song. Come and lay down the burdens you have carried. For in this sanctuary there is love. If you are carrying something too heavy and you need someone to pray with, I want to invite our ministers who have the gift of prayer and healing to come stand alongside of me. And if you need prayer, to come and line up and let us bless you, hold you, pray for you, anoint you. Let us be the hands, heart of God. Come and receive this gift of prayer. If you have the gift of healing and prayer, come stand with me and let us pray for you. Hear these words. May they wrap you, comfort you. May they heal you. May they be what you grab hold of. Sing it again.